This is Andrew Schultz. I'm the sales manager for CHS Ag Services. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson. Another snow system is moving across the Dakotas and into Minnesota today. Grand Forks National Weather Service meteorologist Blake Rafferty says to expect even more snow overnight tonight.
As we go through the rest of today, snow will begin this afternoon across much of southeastern North Dakota and adjacent portions of Minnesota. Right away, it might be slow to accumulate, mostly accumulating on grassy surfaces, but after the sun sets, the peak of the storm arrives, and that's when the heaviest snow, combined with the fact that the sun during the day provides heating, at night that won't be around, snow should pile up fairly quickly, especially, again, mid to late this evening through the overnight into Saturday morning. So if you have travel plans during that time, say after about 6 o'clock this evening through about noon tomorrow, that'd be the greatest period of concern.
Rafferty says next week looks like a bit more of the same.
Temperatures next week will be riding the line again, kind of like we have been the last couple of months. But with the fresh snow, everyone will be in the 30s. We might have a day or two towards the middle of next week where we touch 40 or get a little over 40. And Monday will be a bit cooler. Another little system comes through Sunday night and looks to bring a cold front with it. So Monday temperatures might not reach or leave the 20s. So basically, throughout the period, temps in the 30s, Monday maybe a little cooler, and towards the middle of the week maybe a little warmer.
Rock and Roll Agronomy owner Jason Hansen says most of the farmers he's spoken with are watching the weather while finalizing their planting plans.
Right now it's just a weather watch to see how much water we're going to end up with that's going to show up. That'll dictate kind of the plan as to what we do because we went into fall so very wet. We've had a lot of water move off of fields so far with this relatively warm weather. So that's been decent, but nobody's very excited at this point too. You know, usually you wait till after Easter before you even start thinking about it to do anything. So that's, I would say most of the plan is going to be dictated around what fields are going to be able to go first.
The big concern for Hansen is how the weather could disrupt those plans.
Hopefully it doesn't mess up the plan that you had on paper as far as what you wanted to do for your rotation. That's where I get anxious, I guess, in the spring, is that people like to start with one certain crop, seed that crop, go to the next, and if your fields aren't ready for that, you're going to stick to your rotation. You're jumping back and forth, and nobody's too excited about that.
The White House is out with its 2027 budget proposal. Congress has the power of the purse, so the final budget will likely look very different. However, it does offer insight into President Trump's priorities. For USDA, the proposal calls for nearly $21 billion in discretionary authority for 2027, a 19% cut from what was enacted this year. The budget request includes an additional $50 million to implement USDA's reorganization and move USDA employees to regional hubs. Cuts would include the McGovern-Dole Food for Education program, which is described as wasteful and inefficient. The Agricultural Marketing Service would take a $61 million hit by eliminating specific budget carve-outs. The proposal said the food and agriculture industry should use checkoff funds for these types of programs. James Kalin Associates President Jim Kalin says work is still being done on the House Farm Bill proposal, but for now, it's on the back burner.
The House Chairman Thompson is in touch with the Speaker's office to try to get floor time for the House Ag passed Farm Bill. And so they're working on that, and hopefully that's not going to take too long. However, there are other major issues that the Congress is facing, not the least of which would be the war supplemental and other ag and ag-related funding measure, too. These are all other priorities that the Congress is facing. And DHS, Department of Homeland Security, needs to be funded because right now it's not.
Further work on a new farm bill will be delayed with Congress on recess for the next 2 weeks. Kalin says bridge assistance payments are continuing to smoothly roll out with a key deadline approaching for farmers.
farmers have until April 17th to submit an application for payments. And I think that's going really well. You know, kudos to USDA and the administration for making that happen quickly and providing much needed funding. There is a desire to increase that above the $11-12 billion that was put forth to maybe provide an additional $15-17 billion. That's what I've been hearing from some of the folks who were involved in the process. And of course, been reading that Senator Hoeven and Senate Ag Chairman Bozeman, it's no secret that they've been in discussions about trying to get an ag disaster assistance enacted, recognizing, as many do, that producers need more than the Farmer Bridge assistance.
Speaking at a recent AgriPulse forum, U.S. Ag Trade Negotiator Julie Callahan gave a preview of the administration's ag trade goals for this year, and the focus is full speed ahead on America First trade policy.
We have the USMCA review, very much recognize the importance of the USMCA for ag stakeholders. We will continue our agreements on reciprocal trade negotiations with additional trading partners, and we'll be pursuing other bilateral negotiations, including with China.
Callahan says issues with China remain, but the two sides are in communication.
Ambassador Greer explained that the two sides had agreed on a work plan of deliverables for the presidential summit, which will take place later in the spring. And this work plan includes expanding U.S. exports of agricultural goods to China.
Callahan says the goal is stability with China.
We want a predictable transactional relationship. That market should not be zero, but also we don't want to over-rely on the Chinese market. And that's why the agreements on reciprocal trade, in addition to the conversations with China, will bring that stability back for our farmers and ranchers.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Higher oil prices are expected to hit farmers hard. A new Kansas State University study shows a $90 per barrel oil market could significantly raise production costs. Economist Greg Ibendahl says fuel alone could add more than $10,000 annually for the average grain farm, with diesel costs rising more than $1 per gallon. Fertilizer is also a concern, with prices projected to climb 10%, adding another $12,000 in expenses. The report highlights how closely farm input costs are tied to energy markets, increasing pressure on already tight margins. And oil markets continue to swing sharply as tensions between the United States and Iran escalate. Prices initially moved forward or higher following U.S. and Israeli strikes, then pulled back after President Donald Trump paused attacks. Now, with military action resuming, crude oil and fuel prices are climbing again. That volatility is hitting agriculture, especially diesel. Gas Buddy petroleum analyst Patrick DeHaan says diesel prices are reaching record levels in some areas.
Diesel prices have never been higher in the areas of Washington State. Certainly seeing some of that record-setting levels in California as well, where some cities now getting close to $8 per gallon of diesel. So certainly some lofty diesel numbers. Increases have slowed, but I do expect them to continue this week. Of course, a lot of that really contingent on what develops between the U.S. and Iran.
DeHaan says the next move in fuel prices will depend on how the conflict evolves, especially if military involvement increases.
It certainly would inflame the situation and likely push oil prices up, but it depends on the degree and what any campaign, any ground troop campaign may look like. I think that's going to be the details. Will it ultimately end or improve the situation? I think there is a possibility that sending ground troops in may result in a faster conclusion, although it just depends on the manner in which ground troops may be utilized. So I think there's a lot of open-ended questions there. Ultimately, that may lead to a faster resolution to the situation, but it also has plenty of risk with it as well.
DeHaan says even with the uncertainty, fuel price increases could begin to level off in the weeks ahead, depending on geopolitical developments. A new survey shows strong public support for expanding access to E15 fuel as energy prices remain volatile. According to a Morning Consult poll conducted for the Renewable Fuels Association, an overwhelming majority of registered voters back legislation to allow year-round sales of the lower-cost fuel blend. RFA President and CEO Jeff Cooper says voters support expanding E15 availability by an 8-to-1 margin, highlighting its potential to lower fuel costs and strengthen U.S. energy security. Industry leaders say the results add urgency for Congress to pass legislation making E15 permanently available nationwide. An American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duval says that year-round E15 would benefit everyone, not just farmers.
Drivers are facing $4 per gallon or even more at the gas pumps, but there is a way to bring down prices and help the farm economy at the same time. Year-round E15 is a true win-win for America. Right now, ethanol-blended fuels are only available seasonally. Year-round access would increase demand for corn by almost 50%, creating expanded markets for American farmers, and drivers would save up to 30 cents per gallon. We appreciate EPA for granting a temporary waiver to allow E15 to be sold this summer. But now is time for Congress to take the next step and make the availability of E15 blended fuels permanent. Drivers and farmers deserve solutions that benefit everyone.
Heading into the three-day holiday weekend, Brent crude oil prices settled at just over $109 per barrel. West Texas Intermediate crude approached $114 per barrel before closing at $111.54 per barrel. OPEC Plus member countries will be meeting on Sunday to discuss the current supply situation. Dairy margin coverage program payments will be coming to some dairy farms. The February national average margin was $8.46 per hundredweight. Dairy operations with Tier 1 margin coverage levels of $9.50 will receive a payment of $1.04 per hundredweight. The $9 coverage is eligible for 54 cents per hundredweight and 4 cents for the $8.50 DMC coverage. The payments were automatically processed at the end of March. For more information from the Red River Farm Network, visit Facebook and X. You can also find stories, podcasts, and more at rrfn.com. You are listening to the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The battle for the right to repair and data ownership continues. A recent article from DTN highlights a disconnect between John Deere's Operations Center Pro Service software, as advertised, and the actual data that it offers to its subscribers. Right to Repair advocate Willie Cade attended a demonstration in Oklahoma earlier this year comparing the functionality of the Operations Center Pro service and the dealer-facing Deere Dealer Service Center software. Advertisements for Pro Service claim that the software provides customers with the same tools the dealer technicians use, but Cade said the demonstration revealed that the customer-side software was missing data on service issues with known fixes or product improvement program notifications.
Pro Service did not, but the dealer version, which is called Service Center, did. And when I pointed that out to them, they were A, embarrassed, B, annoyed that I knew what I was talking about, and C, they realized their whole comments about what John Deere gives customers is exactly the same as what they give dealers. It's just not true.
Cade says this is another example of ag companies squeezing farmers for more money while reducing services provided and restricting both data access and ownership.
When they initially rolled it out, it had more capability, and subsequent testing, they rolled it out in August last year, subsequent testing in January showed that they had withdrawn some capabilities. So because of the way they set the software up, i.e. that it is a software as a service, i.e. internet-based, they can change it anytime they want to meet their needs. Yeah. So for them, this is all about what will make them the most money. It's not about being of service to the people who buy their equipment.
In a statement to DTN, John Deere said that their customers have access to all mandatory and safety product improvement program notifications through the Operations Center Service Overview, which is available to customers at no cost. The markets are closed today in observation of the holiday, the Good Friday holiday. They will resume on Monday at normal times. Taking a quick look at some of yesterday's closing numbers, July wheat Minneapolis closed 3 cents higher at 660.5. May soybeans down a nickel and three quarters to 1162.75. May corn down 2.25 cents at 452. This is the Red River Farm Network.